Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Oh, ho, ho, baby! What is up, Buffalo Fanatics? Z-Bot here with you on a Monday, but we're not live on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel. Instead, tonight, we're pre-recording because I'm bringing you a very special edition of the Smoke Break this evening that I am very excited to share with you. It is officially Super Bowl week, which of course means the Bills are not playing. Stop me if you've heard that one before, but we still got to watch the game nonetheless. And since our rooting interest has been put on the back burner, we no longer get to watch Josh Allen and the boys compete. We got to have a little stake in the game. We got to have something to root for, especially when one of the teams out on the field are those Kansas City Chiefs. You gotta have something to pull for. And that's why if you're like me, you're gonna have a little scratch on this game to make it that much more interesting. This is the Christmas of football. That's what the Super Bowl is, but it's also the Christmas of the sports betting community. And when you coincide the two, that's what makes the Super Bowl so special. So today, I have a very special guest who's going to be joining me, Matt Mitchell. And Matt Mitchell is the longest tenured producer at the Action Network. And he also just so happens to be a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. And I bring him on now. Here he is. Matt Mitchell, thank you so much for joining me on a busy week, Super Bowl week. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh, always happy to join a fellow Bills fan in any pursuit. And right. I'm happy to talk gambling anytime, anywhere.
Bills, gambling, and all we have to knock off. Well, we already knocked it up off air. We were talking about the Flutie Flakes and the Kelly Flakes. I got the Josh's Jacks. So we got all the bases covered. Now we just got to dive into the game. Yeah, the intricacies, right? And then we'll keep it grooving from there. But if you don't know the Action Network, this is kind of where I want to start because I talk about the Action Network every time I bring up gambling on the show, which isn't all that often, but this time of the year, I talk about it a lot more, but because, of course, you know, the main rooting interest is gone. Now I got to have my ancillary rooting interest to kind of fill the void. So Matt is a producer over at the Action Network. He's been there since 2017. He produces one of my favorite weekly listens, and that's the Favorites podcast on the Action Network Podcast Network and The Volume. And that's with Simon Hunter why am I blanking right now?
Chad Millman, the guy who signs my paycheck.
I'm missing on Chad Millman. Yeah. You want to know what it is? I think it's because Simon lately has been on such a heater that I have been like dialed in onto Simon's account on the Action Network, which you can follow people, and it's amazing. So if for those who are just listening for the first time, Matt, about the Action Network, what would be the best way to describe what it is in your opinion? Since you've been there for so long and watched it evolve, how would you describe the Action Network to somebody who might not know what it is?
Sure. So the Action Network is a sports betting media company that provides gamblers of any level of experience, kind of everything they need to go with more than just their gut. And we also run an award-winning app that lets you track all of your bets, see how they're doing, see how they're performing in real time. It's won the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association's best sports betting app every year, I think, since it's existed. So it's a wonderful tool. But we also have podcasts that I'm in charge of as audio director. We have YouTube shows. We've got written content. We've got everything you need for basically anything you can gamble on, which is quite a lot.
Right. And when Matt says the app is award winning, I mean, it is for good reason. I am on that app daily. It has everything. And as I was referring to earlier, in regard to Simon Hunter, who is on one of the shows that Matt produces, one of my personal favorites, The Favorites Podcast. When I brought him up, the reason for that is because you can follow other bettors, professional bettors like Simon, on the Action Network, and you can kind of get a good read as to what people are thinking about on certain picks. You can break it down based on who's on one side, who's on the other. There's a million different things. This app is incredible. So just, you know, I would say this without you here, Matt, but since Matt is here, to double down on it, the Action Network, before the big game, you want to get it. You also want to tune into Matt's work because it's great stuff. So, Matt, in addition to the Action Network, your day-to-day job, of course, one of our biggest day-to-day jobs, when we're wearing the gear we're wearing right now, is being a Buffalo Bills fan. Talk to me, Matt. I know, listening to an episode a couple of weeks ago, that I knew you were a fan, but I immediately found out how much of a fan you were when Chad and Simon told the story of you on the flight during the Dolphins playoff game, where you had to get the flight attendant to use the pilot's phone to get the score. What happened there? Walk me through that one, because that really showed me, okay, I knew Matt was a Bills fan, but he's really a Bills fan.
So I'll try to truncate the story, but like I had to go to New York. Action Network was launching the opening of a new studio at our headquarters in Manhattan. So I was going there for that. And the deadline I had for booking my ticket was basically as soon as the Bills Bengals game ended. So because that game obviously was suspended and then canceled, I was going to use that game to determine whether or not we were likely or not to have the one seed. Because if we had the one seed, I could leave on Sunday,
right,
and it wouldn't impact that game. Wouldn't be playing. And as it turns out, to make a long story short, I ended up being in flight during the end of that game.
Oh my God.
Only because it was the longest first half in terms of minutes, in first half in playoff history. It was an endless first half, and I'm in the airport thinking, why can't this just end the half? I'm never gonna make it. And I'm watching on the plane, and the Wi-Fi goes down with, I think it was 4 game minutes to go.
Oh, dude, that is my living nightmare right there.
And it's certainly mine. And you never know on an airplane when the Wi-Fi is gonna work.
Sure,
it's not. But I think in the back of my mind, I thought, oh, I'm not going to get out of this alive. And I didn't want to confront that because there's nothing I can do.
Right.
And it goes down, and I just close my eyes. I'm like, this is it. You're in hell. Like, you did it. You went 17 years of your adult life without seeing playoff games. They're finally a thing you get to enjoy every year. And during the only part that really matters, you're now in the only, unless you're under the ocean, The only place you are now, it's dark. You just have no information. I feel like I'm going to throw up. And the flight attendant walks by and looks at, she's like, are you all right? And I go, it had been like 15 minutes. So I assumed the game was over.
Right.
I go, ma'am, I need to know the score of this Buffalo Bills Miami Dolphins game in the worst way. And she said, and I'll give her credit, she just looked me up and down. She said,
but she saw it on you. It was visible.
She said, is this a gambling thing or a fan thing? And I said, it's both those things. And she looked real spooked, and she went, I'll be right back. And she walks to the front of the plane, and she gets on the little phone to the cockpit. And she talks for a couple seconds, listens, hangs up, walks back, tells me the final score and that the Bills had won. And then I was on cloud 9, because it was about to feel like a 30-hour flight to New York from Milwaukee, my home, if she had said the wrong score. So I consider myself lucky.
Well, what a legend she is, for one. For multiple reasons. One, she saw it on you, and instead of just thinking it was no big deal like most people probably would, because you either get it or you don't. I talk about that nonstop. Either you understand what that feels like or you totally don't. There had to have been part of her that was totally like, listen, like, This is a legitimate, you know, situation for somebody who, like us, worst nightmare would be missing that. And back to your point about that game, as far as the first half is concerned, it was just one of those games. Not only was it like legitimately the longest first half of all time, as far as time is concerned, that game just would not end. I mean, that was a nightmare in itself to have to do that on the flight too. But I'm sure in your situation, you know you have the flight later that day. You go up 17-0. You're probably thinking you're boarding that plane no problem at all, right?
I again, shame on me. They go up early and I think, oh, I'm playing with my kids. I'm packing all my stuff up. I'm like, oh, this will be great. The whole thing will feel like Mardi Gras. The whole plane will be great. Like, I've never watched a Buffalo Bills game in my whole life. And it starts to turn south kind of immediately. You know, all at once, it starts to fall apart. And Shakir or whatever drops that 50-yard bomb. And I think, oh, this is going to be a bumpy ride for me.
It's rough. Were you at the airport to open the half when Allen got the strip sack fumble? Were you at the airport and watched that?
And I'm watching, and it's, you know, there's no Buffalo Bills fans in the Milwaukee airport. Sure. So I'm watching, and these guys next to me like, Jesus Christ, what a clown play that was. And like, yeah I would have. So. I'd hate to care about this team. it was awful.
I'll tell you what, that's a classic. You know what, though? The better situation would have been for your event to be the following week and the flight be during the Bengals game, so you didn't have to watch that at all. Now that we all know how big of a fan Matt is, okay, let's get your perspective. The season, as far as expectations are concerned, I think anybody signs up for 13-3, no matter how you get there. I think everybody signs up for the type of season they had, at least numbers wise. If you're a true, you know, fan that watches every down of every game, the Bills had something about them throughout this season after about the bye week where things didn't feel entirely, I don't know, it wasn't clicking the way it felt like it was in the beginning, but yet you still keep winning. So it's kind of tough to face that head on. They faced it head on against the Cincinnati Bengals in a game that, I mean, let's be frank, they just really never seemed to have come out of the locker room. So throughout this whole season, and then that happens, as you look back on it, what was your overall perspective on how the season went? And then where were you as far as how it ended and kind of how you took all that in?
Well, you nailed it in that. Like, I'll be 38 a week from today. So the Music City Miracle was a formative and very vivid experience as a teen.
Right.
And then every single thing about my life changes before they make the playoffs again. If you had told me then, hey, you're going to have a kid, you're going to be a grown man, you'll lose all your hair, and you'll have a child by the time they make a meaningless playoff game again, I would have loved to have jumped ship. But instead, I picked up a gambling habit instead.
Right.
So I have enough experience to know 13-3, that's a nice time. Like, it was nice to enter the season assuming a playoff berth would be a foregone conclusion, and it was. And as someone that is balancing work and two kids under five and a guy, I've gambled every single day since 2009, you know, and a marriage and trying to stay married. You can't.
It's a lot of plates.
Yeah. I always tell my wife, like, I get it that I'm going to take this time and watch this Bills game by any way I can get. I've caught every Bills game, just about every play of every game since like 95.
Sure.
And to do that, to work that into your lifestyle, you can't be, you know, going to the kitchen and breaking all the plates when you lose a game, you know?
Right.
So I have to keep it real. I got to keep it real steady. And having, you know, 13 of the 16 games be wins or, you know, whatever. I forgot the Bengals game didn't count. So having a season like that play out the way it did was nice. It was nice that after most games, I felt pretty good. They tried to ruin my Thanksgiving. They were unsuccessful because they got that win. And of course it was as we were sitting down to dinner. It's like, I think my wife's just like, what an incredibly inconvenient thing you like to do, you know? And it was fine. And then you make the playoffs, but you nailed it. The vibes were all off. Everyone was consumed with anxiety for that Bengals game. And that told you all you needed to know. I don't think anyone was fairly confident about that. I hated that we had to play Joe Burrow because as a gambler, I love him. He's cool as a cucumber.
Sure.
And that was over. But I will say one thing I always shout, just lose regular. If you're going to lose, just lose regular. And they did. The Chiefs game was a good example of how to not lose regular. Music City Miracle. Like, I don't want to have to remember the losses. Just lose. And they did deliver me that. They lost by halftime. I do this little routine when they're eliminated from the playoffs. I use a Bills mug every day. Then it makes me sick to my stomach to look at after they lose that playoff game. I take it. I wash it. I walk it down to my basement. I got a little closet under the stairs. I walk into the back shelf of that closet and I put the clean mug back there and I don't think about it again till the first preseason game when I remember and I take it back out. And by halftime, I'm cleaning that mug out. I'm putting it in the dishwasher. I'm getting ready to walk it into that closet. So I'd already gone through the stages of grief and acceptance and all that by, you know, certainly by the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So I could change my attitude by the time I, you know, see my kids again at dinner. So right. I was, I will say it ended poorly. It ended poorly for every Bills fan. No one would say it ended super well, but at least it was hopefully the kind of performance and experience that will cause real change and get us to where we need to go to finally get a Super Bowl.
I need to do the mug approach. How do you think I felt the first time I walked back into this room after that game? I was sick. But to your point, and where I found it to be much easier to swallow than the Chiefs game. After that Chiefs game was after it ended, the roller coaster of emotions was so, there's no proper word to describe it, to the point where I felt just completely emotionally, I don't even think drain's the right word, flat out dead inside for days after that because of the ups and downs and then the ultimate down. I mean, you couldn't have gotten worse. I accepted that game after the second, it went touchdown drive, three and out, touchdown drive, three and out. I knew it was over right there. Well, you could just tell they didn't have it. So great point, and I completely agree. It's much easier to swallow a loss when you're watching it unfold firsthand. I mean, there was nothing in that game that was going to just switch on a dime where they were going to get back to, you know, what we have seen earlier in the season. But here's the tough part, and this kind of brings me back to listening to you guys on a weekly basis. And I want your perspective on this too, because as you just said, you've gambled every day since 2009. It feels like when you have a team, you know, obviously for me, I love betting on all the teams. I love betting on the entire league. But with the Bills, it's very tough because it feels like I have a better read on them than I would with anybody else. And sometimes when I see the lines, they're very head scratching. When the Bengals line came out, the six, it made no sense to me. I had no idea in what world the Bills were earning 6 points against the Bengals in that game. So my initial thought, right, and this is just coming from somebody who develops this instinct, the more you watch this team, the more you get used to what you see out on the field. I'm thinking that the Bengals plus six, that just seems like the better play if I was to be, you know, no involvement. But then I'm listening to the favorites. And Simon, who I've been all over all year, I've been absolutely loving the guys and what they've been laying out. They're loving the Bills. And then I'm like, I'm in a complete dilemma here where I'm like, I did not understand this line. They loved it. And then I'm like, well, maybe now I'm starting to love it. But then you saw, I think, the culmination of what we were just talking about unfold. And I just wonder from your perspective, is that something that's tougher to see if you're not as invested as a fan when you see kind of like the trajectory the team's on, but they're not necessarily proving it in the win-loss column? Like if you're watching the team and they're getting the wins, right? They're getting it done, but they're not necessarily doing it in a way that is inspiring by any means. Like when you first saw that line, what was your initial instinct? Did you think that the Bills deserved that line? And did you think betting on that line before the game would be an adequate way to approach it?
Yeah. The line certainly surprised me. I thought it disrespected the recent trajectory of both teams. The Bengals were surging and the Bills would be lucky to be considered plateauing.
Yes.
And watching the Dolphins game could have easily been 28-6 at halftime, but it wasn't. And it wasn't because of referees. It was because we're dropping footballs. And while that will kind of even itself out, that kind of variance can even itself out over a season. You know, after mid-October, boy, we sure were dropping a lot of balls. Like, boy, we were playing to form. And the Bengals game was certainly a miss on Simon's part and lots of experts' parts. But because, you know, it was no one predicted it would be a non-competitive game.
See, that's where it's tough for me, right? Exactly.
And weather plays a big part in that, too. And like, that was I think it had snowed. There had been no meaningful 2023 snow in Buffalo till kickoff. It's like, it's too bad. But like, the snow wasn't the reason we lost. I'm not making an excuse about that. It was snow.
No.
Like I said, it was over quick. And they just didn't play to form. And the Bengals played, you know, I think they had a wonderful game plan and executed it better. And that showed out from the opening kickoff to the very end of the game. But the Bills were a team that didn't perform super well against the spread throughout the whole season. But you know who did very poorly? Kansas City Chiefs. They're the fourth team ever to make the Super Bowl with a, against the spread under 40%. The last team that did it was the 04 Panthers, that team that that covered but lost against the against Tom Brady.
All those teams lost in the Super Bowl, right?
It's not a good vibe when you're right. underperforming. So like it just, you know, the only games that matter are the playoff games. The only way to win a Super Bowl is winning playoff games. You have to get into the dance and then you have to beat the team in front of you. Eagles had, you know, the weakest schedule in the league. Doesn't matter. Some would argue they haven't played a legitimate playoff game yet because they played the dreadful Giants and rolled them. Then they played a team without a quarterback and rolled them, but you can only play the teams in front of you. So I am disappointed by the way the Bills season went. I thought they were, I've known this team for too long and bet on their games for too long to feel extra confident in them by the middle of the season in terms of the numbers they were laying. And they just weren't, like last year with Dable, like they were putting the knife right into people's hearts.
Yes.
Even up, you know, up 12 late or whatever, the kind of games we used to lose all the time. And he'd be throwing 60-yard bombs and they'd be connecting them and like just pulling the guts out of teams. And that was not this team. That was not Dorsey's offense. And that wasn't this team.
You know, it's funny when you correlate the fandom to the gambling, when I listen to a guy like Simon, when I go on the Action Network and I see the experts for a game like the Bills, where I personally feel uncomfortable with the Bills being a 6-point favorite, but then I'm seeing the sharps coming in on the Bills, I get this surge of pseudo confidence thinking, man, I mean, maybe there's just something going on here that I don't know. And it's making me feel really, really good. I personally try not to bet on the Bills because of that reason. Is that something that matters to you at all or not? Or are you all in regardless?
I would answer that by saying, and I do want to make it clear to anyone who's unfamiliar with me, like we hire experts. We have professional bettors on our payroll. We have guys that do this all the time. I am not a professional bettor. I bet all the time. I have almost none of my own opinions. Generally, I listen to the information our experts provide and they make my decisions from there. So like, I'm not a person whose information alone anyone should be seeking out. You should try to find it at the source, which is where I get it. Anyway, I actually don't mind people that bet their team's games. I would say whether or not it is your team or a team you hate, you can get a very good vibe for one team in any sport. Right. And you can tend to get it right kind of all through the season. You see when they are, you can tell the things that aren't on a spreadsheet when they are not going to play to form. You can also get it totally wrong. And I feel like last year I was profiting a lot on Bills games, especially Bills totals, because they were doing things like running it up. They were cashing totals because they were very bloodthirsty in games.
And they weren't labeled that Super Bowl favorite yet. They still had that leniency, right?
And this year, I just totally ate it all year. I couldn't. I would be filled with dread, and they'd win easily. I'd feel confidence, and they would squeak one out. I thought we'd beat the Jets by 7 million, and I still can't believe we lost outright to Zach Wilson. Like, it was a weird season. I felt like I never could get it right. In terms of betting with your head, not your heart, I think people that gambling should be making the entertainment product better for you. It always does for me. If it is not, if you're already overly invested, adding gambling to it's like, you know, I don't know, putting chocolate sauce on a Big Mac. He doesn't need it. That's going to make it worse. And it's going to make you mad. So just save it for dessert, save it for something else.
And the reason I actually thought of that is because I was listening to Chad and Simon on the favorites the other day. And Simon was at a crossroads himself because he loved the Eagles going into the Niners game. And I know there was a lot of variation as to who was on what side going into that game, but he had kind of mentioned how it was tough for him to set aside the fact that, you know, he just loves the Eagles. So is it just that playing into it? And I feel like that does that for me sometimes. So my general rule is to kind of just avoid it because I do, like you just said, you do wind up eating it at times when you think you got an edge or you think you know something and you see what you saw against the Bengals.
And the big thing too, for me, the Bills are favorites a lot. That's nice.
I watched,
there's a, there's this great quote from Dabo Sweeney where he goes, I'm not going to be mad after a win. No one's going to be more miserable than me after a loss. I take losses really hard. I ain't going to be miserable when we win. Right. And when the Bills are favored and I'm like, Bills are up late, they're, you know, they're, you have one more first down and they get it, but they didn't cover the 4.5.
Yeah.
I feel like a horse's ass being like, I waited 17 years for the Bills to be good. The Bills are now really good. I'm going to be mad when they win by 3 points because I want them to win by five. So I will say I'm less likely to lay the favorite with Buffalo.
Well, I'm right there with you because I broke my golden rule. I laid the 16 like a moron in the Dolphins game. And then you get off to that start and you're just, I mean, not only are you realizing you're moving on in the playoffs, and so you think, right? But then you also thinking you're coasting to this cover and it's just like the best feeling ever. And then it all coincides into one collision. It's the worst. I'm glad you brought up the favorites as far as the Bills constantly being favorites. Only team this year to not be a dog. From your perspective, what were your thoughts on that and how Vegas perceived Buffalo? Because to me, when you look at the landscape of the league and then kind of how the Bills were playing after the bye week, it shocked me that even still, no matter what, every week the Bills were the favorite at the closing line.
Yeah, that was interesting. A lot of that will go into public perception entering the season. So the Bills were Super Bowl favorites. They were minus 275 to win their division. Like the perception of them was being in a separate class. And then they ended up being small favorites over the Chiefs. That was the one that was kind of a toss up. So and if they keep winning, even if they're not covering, if they continue to win, they will keep enough gamblers happy that they're not going to, the public's not going to turn against them.
Right.
And so I think they were able to do just enough to continue to warrant being at least small favorites over a lot of teams, because mostly because if the opposite was true, if you post Buffalo as a dog, they were going to get hammered in almost any one of those games. So it was, I think a lot of that was just kind of market perception of the team. And a lot of that was informed by last year.
So you think that it was basically the trickle down effect? I think this whole season, it's weird. The 13 seconds in which Buffalo lost seem to have positively impacted them all offseason and then all throughout this year. Everybody remembers what Allen did to the Patriots and then how he played in that Kansas City game. And it just seems like that perception never faded until they got absolutely trounced 2 weeks ago. It just seemed like that was there. If you weren't a diehard Bills fan and you're a fan of another team who kept tabs on the Bills, it just seems like everybody had that in the back of their mind and didn't see this coming. And I think even for us, I don't think we saw it coming. I think we knew they weren't as good as maybe others thought, but I don't think anybody could have possibly saw what came from the Bengals there. And then you think about, you know, you think about what went into that game and the injuries and how Kansas City the following week, more banged up than Buffalo, were just able to find a way. I think that, as a fan, that's what kind of hurt the most, as you saw Chris Jones with two sacks and they got three sacks and three snaps. The Bills couldn't touch them. So the way it ended, Matt, it was just, that's what sucks, especially when you look back at all these things. And that's the one thing I continue to look at is like, man, they were favored in every single game. They were the preseason favorites and they come out to begin the year and they really show that maybe they really look like they deserve to actually have all of this confidence and everybody's kind of piling on top of them. It comes crashing down. So.
Yeah, that's the like, I was asked by Simon and Chin, how do you feel about the Bills? I think they were like 7.5 to 1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel? I feel terrible about, like, you know, it's, how do you feel? I feel like garbage. Like, I haven't watched us make a Super Bowl since I was 9. Am I excited about this totally meaningless symbol that everybody loves us? Like, no, that doesn't do me any good. Wake me up in January and then I can get excited about it. But like, It does you no favors, and teams that haven't gotten there before, teams that aren't appearing in Super Bowls like a Mahomes Chiefs team, traditionally, if those teams are overrated in terms of the market, like, that never works out. It's a long season and tons of stuff can go wrong. And although enough stuff went wrong with the Bills season along the way that they endured and still won, that I wasn't filled with pessimism, like Hyde going down. I mean, the losing Von Miller was just dreadful. It was really an acutely painful injury in that he was, you know, a luxury good acquired for a very specific solution and then goes down and we're back where we started and we knew where we started wasn't good enough.
Right.
And that was, and that ended up being exactly true. Right. And the part that stood out the most of many things in that Bengals game was yet another Bills playoff game where the other team says hike and then four Bills run into an offensive line and nothing happens. And I'm so sick of watching that game because we watch it over and over and over again that we efforted against solving that. And then it ended up not mattering at all.
And that's exactly what I was just getting at when I was talking about Chris Jones and the line for Kansas City, what they were able to do. It's just, once again, like you just said, you know, that's the glaring issue. You had the solution, so you thought it's no longer at your disposal. And then the following week, you watch the team who does have a guy like Chris Jones, and that was a big difference in the game. So here we are, Matt, the Chiefs, once again, they're off to the Super Bowl, and now the Eagles. And this is the other disheartening thing as a Bills fan. You're not watching the Eagles for the second time in less than a decade get to the Super Bowl with two different coaches, two different quarterbacks, basically two completely different teams. And you're wondering how the Bills throughout this period here have not been able to get to just one with Josh Allen. But one of these days, I guess that's what we keep saying. So it's Eagles, it's Chiefs. Before we get into the bets of the game and kind of looking at it from a gambling perspective, just being at the Action Network for yourself, and I think at this moment in time, it's more prevalent than ever because this is the week where I feel like most people, if you're not huge into gambling on sports, this is like the week where everybody all of a sudden gets into it. But for you guys at the Action Network, and since you've been there for as long as just about anybody.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You have watched the transition from gambling kind of being taboo to the league to now all of a sudden it's embraced in totality. I mean, it's everywhere now. And because of that, it is exploding. It's never been more popular. What's it been like for you as we hit the Super Bowl here, where this is like the pinnacle for betting? What's it been like for you to get to this point and watch how it's grown from, you know, where it used to be, where it was basically, you know, don't talk about it, to now it's, you know, one of the biggest things to hit sports in a very, very long time.
Yeah, it's been incredibly gratifying. I wasn't in audio production. I wasn't in sports betting after college and early in my professional career. Yeah. And then I quit that. I went back to school to learn audio production. And I wanted to work in, you know, in podcasting in general and kind of audio storytelling. But I love betting. I was a bettor first. But I didn't think of a future in sports betting kind of because it was illegal. Like it just wasn't. It was, everything was in the shadows. When I finished my master's program, Chad Noman, my boss, who used to be the executive at ESPN, and he led all the betting coverage there. Among he's the head of editorial. He left to go help found Action Network. That was when I was finishing the program. For once in my life, timing worked out great. So yeah. We finish. I say, hey, can I intern at this company? And I was too old to intern. I was a grown man, but it was like I had the opportunity. I was able to get in, and the month I graduated was the month PASPA was repealed and the federal ban on sports betting was removed.
Wow.
In May of 2018. The timing was exquisite. And because Action had kind of had gotten a lot of whispers that was probably coming down the pipe by the next football season,
yeah.
Action had a head start. So now this is my fifth Super Bowl with Action. That's how many Action's had. And I'm like, it's so gratifying to see something I did every single day, mostly in obscurity, mostly in the shadows, or only with, you know, you're at a bar, you realize another guy cares a lot about this blowout. Hey, yeah. you gamble on this, and you meet your other kindred spirits that way. To having things be regulated, out in the open, expansive. The leagues love it because it's a new revenue source. The yeah. states love it because it's a new revenue source. And people who imagine it as this, that gambling is exploding, it is getting more popular to a degree. But what it's doing, it's helping to eliminate a black market. Like, you take betting you were doing with a bookie or you're doing offshore, and you're turning it into normal action at a right. normal regulated sports books, like a FanDuel or a points bet or what have you. So it's been wonderful. And seeing the public appetite for NFL grow and grow and grow, because everyone has to do their own journey through sports betting, because it's an activity that can be very punishing if you do it irresponsibly. It's right. Like booze. It provides its own punishment if sure. you do it wrong. So it's been nice to see kind of people, what we talk about, from going from the top of the funnel, making your first bet, kind of just getting into it, to come where we're more useful, which is middle of the funnel, end of the funnel, where you know what a money line is, you know what a good price should be, you know when a line smells off, you know how to not get taken advantage of by these crazy juiced up props. Like, that's when we can really be of service, and helping to service that growing number of people and help make interested, intelligent bettors even more interested, even more intelligent, make them make even smarter investments in the world of sports betting is very gratifying, and helping to be a conduit for that, both on the favorites, the sports betting, the Action Network podcast, our other flagship,
yep.
which is a great resource this week, and all of our other 10 shows. It's been very nice to help service kind of that need, because the appetite for above replacement level betting content is growing.
Yes. And that's where I got to double down on behalf of Matt here, because everybody who tunes into me every week, clearly they are a massive football fan. I think the one thing that goes overlooked when you're talking about betting, and this is from my perspective, and the one thing that I personally love about it, that even sometimes for me, I think gets a little bit overlooked, from what I listen to, from your guys' stuff, what I get from the articles on Action, and then overall just being involved in gambling on the NFL, I have learned an infinite amount more about players and teams and everything in between than I ever would have known before if it weren't for having that incentive of the betting perspective. And I think what you guys offer, like when I hear, one of my favorite things when I'm on Action or when I'm listening to one of the pods or whatever, is hearing those insane, very like detailed stats that you'd never know otherwise if it weren't for a betting trend or something like that. And I think the cool thing about all this is it's really expanded the knowledge of everybody. Not so much, towards the standard bar talk or whatever, but it's a lot of deeper stuff that you would not have known otherwise if it weren't for having all this information, like you just said, because it goes beyond the status quo of just standard, we look at this game from each side and this is why we like the quarterback better. It's way more than that. And because of that, I think you just learn so much more about the game itself.
Oh, for sure. It's a wonderful approaching something from a betting perspective is a wonderful lens, because at its best, it's a disinterested lens.
Yes.
Taking in Buffalo Bills content is like a guilty pleasure. Sure. I love to hear the most biased Bills talk is like a nice little dessert for me, but the disinterested nature of betting, and what I really like, is I kind of fell out of love with ESPN talk and like general sports talk as a 20-year-old, because it was so unaccountable. I'm not a hot take guy. It's so boring to me because it's entirely unaccountable. That's why I don't like a lot of draft content, frankly, that's not betting related. Because sure. It's like, whatever your opinion is, or winners and losers of the draft or whatever, like, unless you're going to come back in 3 years and be held to account about it, I'm not interested. If you're going to talk about, you know, is this trade a good idea? Like, well, if you really love it, let's make a bet. Like, let's bet on the team's outcome, and especially Action Network content. And that's my job on the podcast. I'm the arbiter of taste. I fill in. I'm the proxy of our audience. It's like those old Hair Club for Men commercials. Yeah. I'm not just the president. I'm also a client. It's like, right. I care about the content because I am the audience.
Yeah.
When I want our content to be unindulgent, actionable, and accountable. If you're not just going to hear a bunch of rambling nonsense, there's plenty of shows for that. Yeah. We don't make them because we're not going to compete in that space. You want to go listen to Bill Simmons talk about the NBA for an hour and just have a good time. That's great. He does a great job. Lots of shows do a great job, and they have celebrities and fun people. If you want to hear nerds and fanatics who want to be held totally to account for what they're saying and be proven right or wrong consistently and then reflect on that, we've got great programming for that.
And I think you're nailing all that on the head, because I think the way you do it's great. Like, because behind the informative stuff will be like the Big Balls Bet of the Week, where you have an audio bit of a guy getting nailed in the balls. Like, I love that part of the show because you get that fun. You get that funness of it, but you also at the same time blend it perfectly together with the information. But it's funny the way you're talking about it here, because when you're getting into the nitty gritty of the nerdiness of the betting and whatever, when I listen to the, you know, the national pundits or whatever, I'm a big fan of Colin Cowherd. So I first discovered Chad Millman through him going on Cowherd and doing the Sharper Square. And then I didn't even realize I had already had the Action Network and was already a big fan. I never put two and two together that was Chad. And that's how I found your guys' pod. And so it all kind of came together. I think you find an avenue to get there, but that's the beauty of where we're at now and what you guys offer is you have all these outlets and the ability to get all this information in a way that's presented in an awesome way is the bomb. It's truly, I look back on it and I think that it was a space that should have been occupied so much longer ago, because you just see how many people absolutely head over heels love it.
And with a lot of, I'm biased. I love podcasts. I'm an audio guy. I like the audio medium because it lets you do a lot more and you can be a lot more portable, and you can just kind of, it's a nice accompaniment to doing other stuff in a way that video isn't. But being able to add a lot of rigor to an industry and kind of a niche market like sports betting audio that just kind of lacked it, that a lot of it is either it's really indulgent or it's designed to be like a no cost live show that we're going to print, slap onto a podcast, and now that's the podcast version. You're getting, you know, you're hearing people sneeze on a show or whatever. Like, I find some of that so, like, I'd never put my name on something like that. So my primary goal is also to make sure the shows are smooth and listenable, and if I've done a good job, it feels like I didn't do any work at all. It feels like that's just how they were talking. And like, that's, it should be like my dad would describe Gilmore Girls. It's just like real life but better.
Right.
Everyone's real snappy. So I'm excited that I'm glad that you like it. I'm glad to tell your listeners all about it. It's just really,
no doubt.
It's been a labor of love. We did we did 1,100 episodes across our various channels last year. We did 31.9 days worth of produced audio. Man. I'm obsessed about this stuff. It's what I'm all about. So it does feel like I'm living a dream.
Well, I think you are, man, and congrats, because it really is awesome. I got to say though, contrary to what your dad believes, I love the shows. Probably because they're the opposite of Gilmore Girls. Chad and Simon in the game, they don't talk nearly as fast as the Gilmore Girls. Those girls. My girlfriend loves that show. Every time she's got it on, I go, how can you understand what in God's name they're saying? It unbelievable, but it's a good way to put it, because it is better than life, but in a way that's also much faster paced than regular life too. So
yeah, like a golf course is to nature. It looks like nature, but it's all cleaned up.
It's all manufactured. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure you've realized over this time here, you know, going from 2017, I'm sure the majority of your audience was probably people who are already very into sports betting. I'm sure that's grown into people who have obviously found out what it is and then have grown, an interest for it over time. And that's still continuing to happen, of course, right now. So as we head into the Super Bowl, there'll be plenty of people who, you know, either love football or don't bet on it or aren't necessarily huge football fans, but want something to root for in this game. For you, as you look at this game, if someone came up to you and said, you know, never bet on football before, but I want something fun to root for this weekend in the Super Bowl, what would be the fun bet for you that you'd recommend to somebody who's not necessarily huge into gambling?
Yeah. So like, that's I've always relished opportunities to talk to people who don't bet a lot, but are a little bit interested or interested in event specific betting. Yeah. And I always say, what's your goal? And if your goal is, I don't want to lose money, that's one goal. Cause that's that informs what kind of bet I would recommend. Sure. If you, I want a chance to lose a little bit, but I'll win a ton of money. That would get me excited. Or I just want the sharpest angle. That's one. In terms of the kind of the nature of your question, for many people who are going to watch a Super Bowl and aren't regular bettors, they're interested in how the Super Bowl is going to play out on its own merits. Yes. So what I discourage, because I'm certainly fallen victim to this myself, you make a menu of bets that has grown into kind of a Waffle House-esque menu where it's too full. Some things might compete with other things. You can't remember what you're rooting for at a given play. It becomes a little convoluted and you either have to set it all aside and you'll catch up with it after the game, or you end up totally ruining your kind of game watching experience and you kind of lose the forest through the trees. So what I'd encourage people to do who are interested in watching the Super Bowl on its own and want to bet, do first of bets, things that will be over in the first quarter. I love to do no scoring in the first 7.5 minutes, whatever, you know, the markets will change by minutes. It's getting shorter and shorter. Sometimes it's like the first 6.5 minutes now. Doing no scoring, that game starts and you're in a full lather. And you can, and you also provide some entertainment to your Super Bowl party because they're like, oh my God, Matt's hoping nothing happens. He's hoping they run the ball every play to start this game.
Yeah.
He gets so mad when there's a penalty because the clock stops, stuff like that. And then it's over. Then you're no longer a distraction.
Yeah.
You've won or you've lost. That's a fun one. The other ones I like are first touchdown scorers. Like,
oh yeah,
picking a player for each side who is a longer shot, or maybe one who's like an even money, or, you know, one who's like a 3-1, like a Travis Kelce. And then you pick another longer shot for the other team so that no matter who has the ball, you have an interest. Maybe you pick, you know, defense or special teams at like 30-1. So every play is really exciting and you approach it that way. But once that first touchdown scored, you're carte blanche, you're back to enjoying the game. You lost a little bit of money or you had this hilarious win. It's a good undistracting way to enjoy the game on its own merits and not have, you know, people that do a million player props, like, God bless you. But like, I can't watch a whole game and keep track of how many catches Quez Watkins has. I'm not watching the Super Bowl through that lens. That's not
fun. I'm all over that. I'm all over Raybon this weekend, by the way, with the Quez Watkins. I'm glad you brought that up because that's my sweater this week. And I'm glad you also brought up the lost in the weeds thing, because that's where action has been for me. That is my favorite, absolute favorite thing about it. If I had to track all the things that I put in on the app, I would never have a clue what the hell I'm rooting for. That, to me, out of everything, because I get the notification where I'm like, half the time I'll forget. And I'll be like, oh, right. Yeah, I had that leg of it, right? I am so glad that you said the no score in the first quarter, because back in college, we called it first inning nectar. We would bet on no score first inning in every baseball game we could get our hands on. And all of my buddies and I are huge football fans. None of us are baseball fans. But this goes back to your point where you said you're in a full lather, and especially for somebody who is not a huge football fan. That first inning was the most fun you could possibly have watching a sporting event. And this is coming from somebody who is just the farthest thing from a baseball fan.
Oh, I mean, I'm a total degenerate. There's no secret about that. Yes run or no run first inning is also lovely, because sports and by extension sports betting, don't always offer you the promise of, and it's going to take about this much of your life. That Bills Miami first half's a good example. You wanted that to just be over. It's taking up way more of your time than you want. Those first inning bets, you're like, I'm going to play some money and I'm going to have a guarantee of 7 to 13 minutes. It's going to be done for sure. Because if it goes longer, they probably scored a run. So like, I know exactly how long it's going to take. I will be in a full leather from the moment that first pitch begins. And by the time it's over, I'll be able to move on with the rest of my day. And if you get someone else involved, you really get to Thelma and Louise over that cliff together.
Yes.
Because you're just hurtling towards it. And it's, I lost one in Reno. I had a bunch of clients and they wanted to, hey, you're Mr. Sports Betting back in my old job.
Yeah.
And I told them, we're just going to do this pick a game and we'll do no runs. And they were from Philly, so we did a Phillies game. Yeah. What's that guy with the long hair, the white guy with the long hair and the big beard? I forget, he hits all the home runs. I forget his name now, but he played there for a few years ago.
Okay.
Jason Worth.
Okay.
Two outs, bottom of the first, nobody on, full count. He hit one that is still going. He hit dead center over the batter's eye.
Yeah.
I feel like it was in the air for an hour and a half and we all lost. And they were like, so you find this fun? I was like, that was probably the best part of my whole week, losing that. Like getting the drama. I felt like my heart was going to explode out of my chest because I was one strike away. Oh, and then you lose it. I was like, I'm high as a kite right now. So that's, I love that you love that.
No, you're killing me right now because we had it on an Angels game and it was the bottom of the first and it's Mike Trout up, two outs and he single shot homer. Dude, this was our sophomore year of college. Every time something bad happened to us in college from then on out, we called it getting trouted. That's how much we remembered that. So the fact that you just said that is killing me right now because I basically have the exact same scenario just scaled down in the college dorm watching Mike Trout just end our hopes and dreams of whatever it was. It was probably a $10 bet that we were going to use that night to go out with. And we were just absolutely devastated, you know?
It's the best. And you make that memory with each other and it's so much less convoluted than doing a player prop over a full game. It's like, hey, you want to manufacture some fellowship with some strangers? Say, hey, everybody here, I'm putting $50 for each of us and we're going to bet this first inning. And boy, you get some friends quick.
No doubt about it.
Because you're not asking them to hang out with you for an hour and a half. You're like, we're just going to get a sports book. Be like,
All
right, let's do it, man. And then if you win, you have the money, you buy me a beer. And like, if the person's not a total creep, like that's a nice friendship cheat code. It's hard to make friends as an adult. So it's
no doubt.
That's kind of a fun way to.
Well, either way, you can cry together or you can celebrate together. It's the best. I got to follow up on your point on the props here, because obviously over at Action, you got a lot of great data and then you got a lot of great guys who analyze that data, put that into the props place. So even though that you have the guys that you work with, you know, where you're getting the information and they're putting it out and they love a bet or whatnot, are you still not into betting props just because you don't like to have to keep track of them, or will you go that route at times?
Oh, I'll do a few Super Bowl betting props.
Yeah.
Like the markets move so fast and I'm just not a player prop guy. I like lots of stuff. Like I love action. Like I love having action on anything.
No doubt.
But like props complicate my viewing experience. If I'm betting props, it's for a game I'm not watching. I'll bet if they really love an NBA prop, I'll invest. I'm not going to watch that Nets game. I'll check in and see if it won later. And they'll win. If I can get it early, if I can get it before I post the show, if I cheat and take the bets before anybody hears them, like I'll bet them. I'm not an idiot, but like I'm looking for a dopamine rush. They don't give it to me.
Yep. I totally hear you because every time you do get to it, right? You go there and that's the difference between the props, like a yard or two, you don't think it's anything. It is everything. And by the time I see it, whatever they got it at, it's the same odds, but way worse half the time. That I am in total agreement with, but there's something about the intricacies, I think, of the one particular player, especially when you're rooting for them to do bad. It's the weirdest feeling in the world. Like if you got money on the team to win, like say this weekend, if I'm taking the Eagles and then I got Quez Watkins under the yards, it is the weirdest dilemma ever. But there's something I love about having like the game within the game within the game. But it's like the most stressful bet of all time because all of a sudden, especially with the lower end guys, it's just one play. Like they don't have to continuously do anything. They just got to have one errant throw, and that's. And that's that.
I think that's part of it too, because it's the easiest way to feel like a total idiot. And I am. I'll lose tons of bets. I do like to just, like I said before, kind of just lose regular. I don't want to feel like a total idiot. Those obscure player props where you're just like one play away, guy catches two balls instead of one. End of the game, he catches that second one. You lose. I feel like a total dummy. You're like, what am I doing? What a dumb way for me to lose money. I didn't even care about this. I'd rather get backdoored on a total. Because at least it was regular gameplay.
Yes.
Just like, I wish you hadn't been the one who caught that. It's ridiculous.
It was like last week under Isaiah Pacheco receptions. I think he opened the game with the first two passes were right to him. And it just felt just like you, where you're like, how stupid am I? I'm just the dumbest. And that's the thing. It's like right off the bat too, you know, right off the bat.
And if, you know, it's also a reason I don't live in a mansion. Like, it's also a real doing that at a really high level is a great way to get tons of money and get be so successful sports books will cancel your account or limit you. Right. That's not my, I don't have that problem because I don't have the discipline to do it. And I know that that's a me problem, which is why I produce the shows. I don't star in them. So like, take that with a grain of salt.
See, I like your angle on it where you have the fun behind the scenes. I'm much more like you because to me, the reason I don't, you know, the reason I'm not, I'll read articles. People are like, oh, like, what do you do about being limited? I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? What are you guys doing that I'm not aware of? I would pay to get the email that I'm being limited. As we go into this one, Matt, as we go into the Super Bowl, and as you've kind of compiled, I'm sure, all the information that you guys will use throughout the week for all your shows and stuff. As you've thought about the game as it comes closer, what's the one thing that you look at for the Eagles and then the one thing you look at for the Chiefs that you think is advantageous for either side? If someone was listening to this and they were kind of thinking about going one side or the other, what's the things that you look at for both teams from a betting standpoint that you think plays in their favor?
For the Chiefs, it's like we talked about, that they were under 40% against the spread for the season. They did not have an amazing season.
Yeah.
From a market perspective, they consistently failed to meet expectations in that department. A lot of times there are big favorites. That's part of it. But like, that's a team I just watched almost lose to the Raiders in a game they had to win. Like they're a team that can screw around and fall flat. And they, if we're being honest, probably should have lost to the Bengals last week. They probably shouldn't be in this game. So I'm, in terms of the perception, I think the Chiefs are being perceived perhaps as a little bit stronger than they are, especially with the injuries at wide receiver, in addition to the uncertainty around Mahomes. If he's anywhere near as immobile as he was last week, they're going to have a real problem because his magic is always in both things, is throwing and running. When he can do both, he's at that maybe best of all time level. Without that, he goes back down to earth a little bit. He becomes just very, very good.
Right.
And to win the Super Bowl, they're going to need more than that from him. From the Eagles' perspective, I will say one of the things I've heard, that including on our own shows, the handicap doesn't necessarily need to be more complicated than 5 years from now. Do you want to say, I got to bet Patrick Mahomes as an underdog in the Super Bowl? I get that. Where you say, like, is this guy really going to lose? And I don't ever mind that kind of thinking. I'm just scarred, but I did that twice in my whole life. I've done that. And I feel as confident today, even though they lost, as I feel as confident then. Now it was, is Tom Brady going to lose to Eli Manning in a Super Bowl? And then I said it again. He lost both of them. And I still can't believe it happened.
They haven't lost the game all year. How can I not back the guy?
And I hate the Patriots.
Of course.
Just being like, am I going to go to bed tonight and say, Tom Brady lost Eli Manning again, and I lost my ass on that game because I let the handicap just be that.
Sure.
So I'm too scarred by that experience in the Super Bowls to say Mahomes has an underdog. That's good enough for me. I think of that Chiefs Tampa Super Bowl where the game was like they were getting pressure without having to blitz.
Oh yeah,
Mahomes was running for his life. And right from the jump, you knew it was the wrong side from the jump because they weren't able to throw it all over. They didn't look like they had any magic, any kind of go.
Yeah.
And I wonder if 5 minutes into this game, the Eagles will be that Tampa team for Mahomes. And so I think, although I'm very unexcited about this matchup from a betting perspective, and I think the market reflects that.
Yes.
It's just too evenly matched. And there's too many uncertainties. At the end of the day, that might be all I need, is to just say, I want the better defense. I've already seen Mahomes struggle when he's under pressure. I can't confirm whether or not that will actually happen until the game starts. But if I'm going to build a position, I think I'm going to approach it from that perspective of, I'm hoping that a dominant performance by Philadelphia's defense helps lead the way to them kind of grinding this game out and winning.
That's so funny you say that. You say you're not excited about it from the betting perspective because of, you know, the narrowness of it. But that typically reflects in the excitement of a game like this because of how close it's projected to be. That's the funny thing about it. This line opened up where the Chiefs were favored by two, and then all of a sudden it completely flipped. And now it's settled in at Philly plus 1.5. It's kind of stayed around there. What do you think was the biggest swing as far as why it went from that line all the way back up again, and then it just kind of plateaued. And it really, that line has not moved for almost a week now, it seems. What do you think it was from the beginning to now that has kind of altered the perception of this game?
Yeah, I think they opened as soon as conference championships concluded. Yeah. That evening, Chiefs minus two, and it gets the Eagles get absolutely hammered till it flips over basically 4 points through the zero, which isn't that large a move.
Right.
Plus two to minus two isn't nearly as significant as 2-4, for example, because it would cross over key number of three. Obviously, you know that. You see the action, it certainly indicated that.
Yeah.
Following the most recent game, the thing everybody saw, there was more confidence among sharp bettors, because that's who's betting openers like that, in building a position with Philly as an underdog, taking that plus two, because they speculated correctly that it wouldn't remain. They got a little bit of value. They were able to get plus money on an Eagles money line. It settles that now Eagles minus 1.5. There's no way this number's touching three either way. It's probably just going to die right here. Maybe go to two, maybe go to a half, whatever, in kind of a dead zone. 87% of Super Bowls, the spread doesn't come into play anyway. It certainly won't in this one. So I think it indicated that from what people just saw, they saw Jalen Hurts look a little healthier than I think was being perceived. And it looked like Mahomes was pretty messed up, pretty injured, and gutted it out. And he looked more and more hurt as the game went on. So I think it was buying a position on speculation that Mahomes wouldn't be able to recover fully in 2 weeks, which is probably accurate. Or even if he shot up by the end of that game, that stuff will start to wear off and he'll be coming down to earth.
Who do you think's line's been more affected by their injury? The Hurts kind of banged up, or the Mahomes banged up? Which side do you think's been more affected by that as far as betting is concerned?
Oh, I'm sure Mahomes. I think the whispers now started that the reason that Hurts missed so many passes, and he missed plenty in that game, was maybe it wasn't jitters. Maybe his shoulder's not as healthy as was being reported. That some of that wasn't excitement, but rather just kind of a lack of accuracy from an injury. That's way more concerning, big picture. Right. But I don't think we didn't see him sailing one into the stands. You don't hobble around with a shoulder injury. So I think that, again, another what makes the game so hard to bet on and so uninteresting to me from a betting perspective, kind of versus other Super Bowls in the past, is we're going to know the answer pretty soon, as soon as the game starts.
Right.
I don't want to wait that long. I want to have action now, but you prefer your game, unlike the Bills-Bengals game, to be decided kind of late. You don't want to start the game and think I'm drawn dead. So I'm a little concerned because there's a lot of question marks left.
Yeah, I'm just like you, because I've been continuously checking the app waiting for something to move. I even have the alerts on. And I figured by now, after it's been at least a week, it just seems like nothing's – I know the total's moved up a little bit, but it just seems like that line is stubborn. And I've been dying to see if it moves at all. And I'm sure – what do you think? Towards the game, when it starts, do you think that it will alter to some degree, or is this 1.5 where we're going to see it finish up at?
Yeah, because the perception of both teams is pretty equal too. It's not like like the Bengals tend to be a fairly unpopular team. They're small market. They tend to be unexciting for now.
Yeah.
Like the Jaguars. Nobody likes betting on the Jaguars. Like, these are two prominent, well-respected teams with enormous vocal fan bases and exciting quarterbacks you can run around. Like, it's not
exactly.
I think there will be a lot of equal public action. You could make a very coherent argument for both sides very easily, which is again, another reason it's hard for me to feel super confident. And if I see anyone that's really, really confident, it tells me they're not particularly sharp. Like,
no,
even the sharpest people we know are like, I lean to this side, I'm going to bet it. But they're not, they're not slapping a shoe onto the desk saying it's my shoe in of the week. Go Chiefs. Everyone with a brain should feel at least a little bit of push and pull when it comes to this line.
Every one of the sharps I've heard from your guys' network, everyone has their reasoning, but then everybody has said, but I do understand completely why the other people have that reason. That seems to be what I continuously keep hearing. They just tend to favor one side more than the other, I guess.
If people like you and I had real discipline, we just wait to bet it live. We just say, I'm not going to bet anything. I'll wait till the end of the first quarter. It's not how life works. So I'm going to get a couple of bat blues in me. I'm going to get all zhuzhed up. And I'm going to start firing off bets at noon. So
we are two peas in a pod. Yeah, no question.
What are we going to do?
Before we wrap up, just a couple more to pick your personal brain going into this game and how you're looking at it. Overall, is there one bet going into the Super Bowl that you bet no matter what? Doesn't matter who's playing. Is there a bet you just love to have down for every Super Bowl?
We have an expert, Sean Kerner, and Sean is one of the best player projectionists
yes.
in the world. And that's not me saying that. A company, Fantasy Pros, ranks them a third party, and he's top five every year. It's no one finishes top five consistently. It's too hard.
And he's on the show with you guys tomorrow, right? You guys are doing a whole table.
We're recording as soon as this show ends. I will record our Prop-a-Palooza episode of Action Network podcast, and he'll also be on the favorites. He's amazing.
Awesome.
One that he gives me every year, and it's so much fun, is who will pick a punting prop. Last year it was longest punt under 53 yards. So the minute they get to the their own 45, you can't, or their own 47 or whatever, you couldn't lose. So betting every drive to just make it towards midfield, and then I could breathe easy. I had so much money on that. It was so much fun. Didn't even come close.
That's amazing, because midfield's like an end zone almost for your bet every time.
Precisely. Exactly.
That is awesome.
So, and then if they punt, you know, he was like, it's 50-50, yeah, but I don't think there's going to be that many drives stalling out early. He always has incredible reasons. So I'm going to wait. He's going to give me his favorite soon for the show, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And like, and then the line will move and it'll be terrible, but I think he's going to do probably like a over under distance of the first punt, like punting. I don't know why I think that's so much fun, but it's a moment in the game that's usually kind of everyone exhales and it's going to be less interesting. And that punter comes out, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Oh my God. But that's probably why you love it. Cause when else are you on the edge of your seat when the punter's taking the field? You know what I mean?
So yeah, I think that's always a fun one. That, and like I said, the no scoring in the first X number of minutes, that's always fun too.
So in this particular game, right before we wrap up here, is there one bet that's your favorite? And is there one bet that you are like, I wouldn't touch that if you paid me?
I don't think I can bring myself to touch this total. Cause I think this game could sail over 50. Or this game could be just like that Tampa Kansas City game where like your over's dead. You know, because once you go over 47, it takes two to tango. You need two, you need both teams scoring. And I'm too concerned that after that first quarter, it's like now one of these teams ain't it. One of these teams ain't getting to 24. So I'm not gonna touch the total. Probably. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I'm gonna bet the Eagles. I think I'm most excited about sitting down and being like, you know what? I'm going to get myself excited about betting Eagles. Maybe that sounds like the dumbest possible way to approach this game, but
it's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. But you know what? I'm not going to root for the Chiefs. I can't do it. So
hell no, that's added fuel. All week long, I have been doing exactly what you're doing, where I am just trying to, it's like everything. You can find the angle to prove anything right for yourself. I have been trying to find the way to prove the Eagles right to myself all week. So I'm on the same boat as you. Now I'm wondering if you're going to be on this with me, and this is my last question to you. Do you bet the coin toss, and do you bet the national anthem? I got to know.
Oh, anthem for sure. Anthem. Okay.
You are my favorite.
Anthem, you have to.
You have to.
Stucky gave me the best reason. One of our experts, Stucky, who's a great follow at Stucky Two on Twitter. He said he stopped betting the coin toss. One, because it's dumb, because you're betting the 50-50 and you're betting it at minus 110 or whatever. But he goes, every year, if I lose it, the game hasn't started and you took a really dumb loss, really put you in a sour mood. And I can't say of the 50% or whatever of Super Bowls where that happened, I'd be really pissy because, you know, you feel like it just sets a bad tone.
In a way
that the anthem doesn't, because the anthem feels like a bet. The coin toss is you're just flipping a coin. Like, there's not a whole lot there. So I will say, anthem is fun. Don't do the coin toss. If you're going to do the coin toss, add it to like a six leg parlay so that you know that one's dead right away, or it's going to be an enormous multiplier.
No doubt.
Do it. I guess what I'm saying is do it even stupider. Play it even more stupidly.
Yes.
This is bad advice, but if you're looking to, you know, to do something like that, take it all the way or don't do it at all.
Right. Matt, this has been such a pleasure. There've been so many things you've said that if you couldn't tell, I'm just kind of like squirming around because I want to just reach out and say like, dude, you are reading my mind right now when it comes to half these things and no one else I talk about with this stuff, they ever feel that same way. So an absolute pleasure to have you on and be able to pick your brain about this stuff because it makes me feel, I guess, a little bit more sane, but at the same time, it also makes me feel great to know that there's people out there that are also going through that same stuff where I think when you're going through it, you're thinking, man, I got it. I, like you said earlier, I'm just the dumbest guy on the planet. I got to be riding this completely solo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand. Hey, listen, as Bills fans, we're just empty husks inside.
You better believe it.
Where happiness and a soul used to be. So it's nice to see my counterpart across the screen here.
Love it. Well, as we wrap up, Matt, let everybody know where they can find not only you, but what you got going on as we approach the Super Bowl here and what they can dive into as the game nears.
So I am at old boy Uncle Mitch on Twitter if you want to hear, you know, ramblings about a guy who ate $29 worth of McDonald's breakfast yesterday. But for gambling analysis for the best that Action Network has to offer, listen to the Favorites podcast and the Action Network podcast. They are wonderful resources, especially this week leading up to the Super Bowl. I think we have something like 8 different shows. Anything you could want to know from a betting perspective, those two shows will take you there. We've got individual shows covering every other sport, but for those looking to bet the Super Bowl, the Favorites and the Action Network podcast are great resources.
I am so stoked to listen to you guys this week, because I know that Chad and Simon have been hyping up the kind of the round table you guys are doing. So I can't wait to hear that. Can't wait to follow you guys all week. And once again, man, thank you so much for coming on, and I really hope you enjoy the game this weekend.
Oh, I think I'm on a collision course with a good time. Thanks a lot. Happy to come.
I feel the same way. Now, I will say, the next time I have you on, hopefully, we'll table this. The next time I have you on, we're going to be talking Bills bets in regard to the Super Bowl. That's what I want to pencil in right now. When the Bills inevitably get there, Matt, you got to come back on and give us your best bet. How about that?
And we'll have made so much money on the Super Bowl, we're going to have rich guy problems. We'll have separate rich guy. We'll have all new friends. We'll have rich guy friends. So that sounds great. That sounds like a plan.
You heard it here first. Next time you see Matt on the platform, that means good things are coming your way to Buffalo. So can't wait. Matt, thank you again, brother. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good luck, everybody.